During the summer, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends or alone on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, so you can enjoy all the summertime vibes, whether you're sharing pics from a rooftop, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode. So, stay connected to your favorite people and your favorite things with AT&T 5G and home internet. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears. Real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
R&B money. We up. Tank. Jay Valentine. We are the authorities on all things R&B.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
This is the R&B Money Podcast.
Yeah, real R&B.
The authority. Solamente de nosotros.
Oh, shit.
What? Of all things R&B. Ladies and gentlemen, today we have a guy, my friends. It's in his blood.
It's in his blood, that's right. Huh?
Yeah.
It's in his blood.
Yeah, yeah. Every birthday.
What? Every birthday.
Why fight time when you can rewind the time?
You know what? Let's get right into it.
Available at Sally's.
Let's get to it. Ladies and gentlemen. Why fight the time
when you can rewind?
When you can rewind,
baby, look brand new,
bro. Let me say something. Every time before we've gotten into business together, obviously, every time I've ever seen you and met you, it's always been about inclusion. It's always been about putting your arms around and making sure that everybody feels welcome. That you are giving the greetings and giving the love, and I've never seen anything different.
That's just who I am. You know what I'm saying? So I like being happy, and I want to make sure my people happy.
Yeah.
And so that's what it's all about. And so at the days of, you know, we could talk about a lot of shit. We going there now, off rip. I never liked the major label record companies. I never liked how they did our artists from the past. I remember they used to put Old School at Noon tours together, and they have guys 22, 21, 23 on tour calling them Old School at Noon. So if you get dropped off a major label, they automatically call you Old School at Noon. But you only 23.
Yeah.
You know, you got these guys, and I don't want to say their names because they really legendary to me, but they would have them on Old School at Noon tours and shit like that. So I made a note of it. I said, yo, listen, they're going to do me the same way. So I got to make sure to diversify and make sure I get to it. And I love seeing my fellow artists look good. Like, yeah. You look good. You know, I was in Beverly Hills, and, you know, I'm good friends with Johnny Gill, and he pulled up in the Rolls Royce Goyard bag. I was hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I want all my guys looking good, mm-hmm. making money, getting theirs. That's what it's all about for me. It's never been about just me. You know, when the kid plays, he be like, my boy, never been like that with me. It's been about everybody eating. So inclusion is all I'm about.
Bro, you've navigated 30 plus successful years in this shit.
Pretty crazy.
Really crazy. It doesn't happen, right? And like, it's not you're at the 30th year and we're seeing some fall off.
No.
You know, you're in a 30th year looking like LeBron, as I would like to say.
Yeah.
LeBron in his 21st.
Yeah. You know, that's LeBron amazes me.
Yeah.
You know, to be in that shape, still be competitive.
But you're in that shape, Joe.
Yeah, I don't
play.
You're
in a better shape.
Well, you know, God is pushing me through.
Talk to
me. And so what people got to know is that I put my hands in God. You know, when people try to, you know, say cancel me or start some shit, I don't even worry.
Mm-hmm.
I just know God is going to push me through because he know where my heart is.
Right, your intention.
So everything's a journey. You know, it came faster for certain people. It came slower for certain people. But it really is, like Nipsey said, this career thing is really a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just keep going and keep going. And then who knows, something leads to something. Something leads to something, you know. And then, you know, it used to be, when we started, it was about, you know, I used to be with Biggie Smalls every day.
Yeah.
Recipes, B.I.G.,
mm-hmm.
27 years. And we never took pictures because that was considered sucker shit at that time.
Hmm.
Right?
Hmm.
And now I take pictures of anything. Yeah, like, I'll be sitting, parking the car like, yo, take a pic, because we got to capture the moment. But when I came up, it was all about, if you went in the club, you would see Fat Joe, you would think, yo, I can't talk to this guy.
Yeah.
You know, I got the gangsters around me. I'm standing there like, don't look, because that's what the wave was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so during COVID, everybody stuck home. They allowed me to turn on the IG Live and show people my real personality. Because they knew Lean Back. They knew the songs. Mm-hmm. They didn't really know Fat Joe, the personality. And even at that time when we would go do interviews, it was like we had to be real guarded. You know, you got the Wendy Williams, the Miss Jones, Ebro at one time,
mm-hmm.
where they all trying to jam you up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no disrespect, y'all, but, you know, that's where our interviews was.
Mm-hmm.
So all of us had to put up those little invisible bars.
Yeah.
So during the COVID, it was like, all right, everybody stress the fuck out anyway.
Yeah.
Laugh, Joe, tell jokes. Play the Jones Girls, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm starting this shit with the Jones Girls every day. Detroit on the check it.
Yeah.
So everybody like, oh shit, I ain't know Fat Joe was like this. But and so you never know where this journey gonna take you, because it just opens so many different doors.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I never thought when I was hustling on the block, I'd be selling men's hair grooming products all over the world.
Hallelujah.
But we doing it.
Why
we trapping.
All over the
we
world.
We trapping. All over the world.
Different kind of trapping.
Yo, different
kind. Safe trapping.
Oh, no, safe trapping.
Very.
It's scary out here.
Let's go back there, Fat Joe, to the Bronx, shall we?
Yeah.
Did Little Joe
mm-hmm.
desire to be a rapper, a mogul in that sense? And entertain.
Let me tell you a story I told a million times, but I'm going to tell you. I remember being 12. First of all, there wasn't, for young people, there was no Instagram.
Mm.
The biggest we could think of was Sanford and Son. and George Jefferson.
Yeah.
We ain't seen nobody else that looked like us. And I'm in the Bronx, and I hate to tell y'all, but it was like a war zone. It was like Ukraine. Bronx was fucked up. It wasn't no real buildings or nothing, no playgrounds. And I remember sitting out there with my boy Louis one day, 12 years old, and I was like, yo, this broke shit? This ain't for me. And he was looking at me like, what? I was like, yo, bro, I'm not going to be broke. You know? And so I always remember that moment where it was in my DNA that I knew there was more for me out there. I didn't know what it was. So I was out in the street getting a bunch of money. You know, he tried to kill me maybe 30, 40 times. Literally, like the bullet had my name on it, shooting at Fat Joey. And so my man Diamond D from DITC stepped to me and said, yo, Joe, man, you gotta change your life or they're going to kill you out here.
Are you rapping at this point? Are you not rapping?
No, but I'm...
But this is your guys digging
the
crates.
You really have to understand Fat Joe was born. So you know the Muslims, they go to Saudi Arabia to go to Mecca?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I literally, there's just no way of lying. There's no way to doing it. I literally was born in the birthplace of hip-hop. No, not on the west side, not on the east side, not on this. Grandmaster Flash was out my window DJing every day. Melly Mel was playing pickup games of basketball. Ruby D, the first Latino MC. Sha Rock, the first female MC. They all from my hood. My hood.
Yeah.
Like the inception of hip-hop.
Yeah.
No, first time somebody probably broke dance or this, that's my hood, right? So I'm watching it. So I've been to hip-hop since I was born. I did everything from MC to break dance to graffiti, right? I did the whole culture thing. Only thing I could never do good was DJ. It's the only thing I could never DJ right. And I used to try. But and so it was either hustle or hip-hop.
Yeah.
So my man Diamond D was on already. Lord Finesse was on. And Diamond was like, yo, let's go to the studio. I'll pay Joe. So we went in there. We made a demo. That became my first single, FloJo, that went number one in America.
That's
hot
your
rap
first
singles.
Song recorded?
First song
never
recorded.
Never done another
FloJo.
Song.
FloJo, no,
that.
No, no. Yeah. It went out the park.
That's crazy.
It went out the park. Number one in America, Arsenio. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you fresh shit. Out the project. Or not even fresh out. You still
out,
in
I'm
the project.
I'm in the project. Yeah. I'm still in the project. You know, I moved out the projects because I was getting money before I rap, but I was in the project to about my second album, and when I realized, all right, you're a rap star now, and they starting to view you a little different.
Yeah.
So for me, I would have still been in the projects right now, you know, but it got to where it was a lot of jealousy. It was, you know, I got to keep smacking people up in the project, showing them I ain't changed. I'm still Fat Joe. And then it just got to the point where I realized I was like, damn. You know, one day we had a riot in the projects because of me, right? So I used to run the projects, like, you know, king of Zamunga, you know what I'm saying? And then I became a rapper. So now they seeing me on TV and all that, so they starting to look at me like I changed, I went soft, I'm a rapper, I can't punch you in your face, I can't, you know.
I'm a rapper, I can't punch you in the face.
No. Like I'm a rapper.
Yeah,
of course I can't punch you in your face. Right. Like, you know, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's like, it got to that point, and then one day we had like half the projects fight half the projects because some dude told me like, yo, fuck you think you doing out here? I smacked his cheek off real quick. Bang! I didn't even think about it. I left. You know, it was just a normal occurrence to me. I left. I came back. Then there was a dude there that I grew up with since kindergarten, and he was angry. And I'll even say his name. I said, yo, Pito, what's up? Pito was like, he was his name, Fat Pito. Fat Joe, Fat Pito. We grew up since kindergarten. What you mean, what's up, nigga? What's up? You slapped, that was my brother-in-law, you slapped, and he swung on me. And that's not suggested, right? Mm. And so, swung on me, he missed. I almost let him get away with it. I backed up, I went in the car. I never forget, I tell you this story, Rich, I never forget my brother Full Flex stopped me and said, yo, Joe, I know it's Pito, but you know, if you walk away right now, they ain't gonna respect you like that in the hood no more. I said, damn, but it's Pito. He said, yo, bro, it's up to you. I know it's Pete, though. He was telling me, like, I know you don't want to do nothing to Pete, though.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I went in the trunk. I pulled out the shocks. You remember they used to have the yellow shocks, the big Michelin shit?
Yeah, I know exactly
yeah,
what you're talking about.
Yeah, I pulled it out. I started beating Pete, though, up with the Michelin shit. And then the whole, whoever was jealous of Fat Joe, fought Fat Joe that day.
It came out
and whoever
day.
Was my real brothers in the projects, fought them. So it was half of the projects. I mean, 50 guys, like everybody going at brothers was fighting brothers. And my brother Hall Power, he was fighting my brother Gizmo, who started TS. TS went with, Gizmo went with the other side. So it was like, all our life we knew each other. We all had like a big riot because they was defending me. They was like, fuck that, Joey, our brother. You know what I'm saying? Then the other half who was a little bit jealous, we had to, we won for sure. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, but that taught me like, man, you can't really you can't be out here like that more, man. Yeah. These guys are seeing you on TV. And so it's not your perception of dumb changes. A lot of times, you know, as an artist, people's perception of you of change. You.
Yeah.
And so you can still be the same person. You the same, you know, we all kids at heart, but they start looking at you different.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what happens.
Wow. I'm sure there's that moment and other moments where it's like you are graduating to a place of success on a different side, but there's this urge to maintain
the street credibility.
The street credibility.
Yeah, we did, like, though. We put it down in this game, like in this rap game without saying no names, because I'm cool with a lot of people, not even cool brothers, but we smashed anybody who tried to fuck with us. Like, literally, everybody who tried to fuck with us.
And this is all...
So in the game...
None of this is...
What?
None of this can be used...
No, you can play this.
No. I'm saying none of this can be used against...
It's
been done.
Talk about fighting. So it was like, you got to understand hip hop. There ain't no PhD. There ain't no bachelor's degree. It's like, you got a bunch of guys that could rap.
Mm-hmm.
They probably normally wouldn't even have a career or a job if they didn't know how to rap. Their entourage is everybody who just came home from jail. Everybody think they tough.
Yeah.
Everybody this. So every now and then you got to like, reassure them that this is what happens.
Yeah. So, no, it's interesting for me because me growing up in the Bay Area, I watched you as a kid and I watched your career and it was very parallel to E-40s for me.
I think I'm the East Coast E-40.
Because I know him so well, that's my guy. And I'm watching you on the whole other side of the country. I'm like, this is familiar to me.
New York's E-40.
Yeah, this is very familiar to me. Like, and it was funny because, and even how it's come to life now,
even
later in your career.
He's a businessman. He's with his wife.
But you guys were always independent.
Yeah.
You guys always had your wife with you.
Yeah.
It was also watching a man do business.
Yeah.
Right? Because we have a lot of little boys in this industry. It's very few men who are handling their business and who are approaching everything as a man first. Mm-hmm. All we ask as men is respect. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to smash nobody. We're not trying to disrespect nobody else.
This is what this is about.
Yeah.
So the only reason I come and do a podcast or I do my own talk show or whatever the case may be is transparency.
Yes.
You know, we got people who look up to us, whether they're R&B, whether they're rappers, and they got to hear these type of stories. They got to hear these business moves. They got to hear how Fat Joe and 50 are friends now, brothers,
right.
when they was trying to kill each other.
I was at the MTV Awards that year.
Oof, that was a big
I was there.
That was one. But
I was there.
Not to even dwell on that, but I'm just saying they got to see the growth so they can know, you know, like even Fat Joe, I'm a dreamer. I'm a believer.
Yeah.
But if somebody does it, you know, I used to go to Puff Daddy's house and just stare at the walls, the ceilings and the marble and be like, yo, we could get shit like this.
Yeah.
You know, so when I hear a deal, you know, 50 Cent just closed this TV show. Man, we could do that. And so I've always looked at everything like I got to see it to believe it and from a lens of not jealousy, but inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's so important about outlets like this. It's like, we got to share that information with the youth. Has somebody broke down to me when I was a young kid wilding in the industry and all that, yo, bro, this ain't good for business? Somebody I really trusted and known, I'd have switched right there.
Right.
It would have saved me a bunch of paying bills, paying rents. You know, I was going MTV Awards that year, not even that. All them year awards, I had beef with 50 Cent. So I had to fly in with 50 guys. I had to put 50 guys in 50 hotels. You know, we popping 50 bottles, 100 bottles.
Right.
That's a big purse.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You got to be busting down. The cost of war is real. Because the last thing you want is to be get caught off point.
Yeah.
So you got to be right.
Yeah.
So that all that shit costs. So it's for the youth to understand, don't get involved in that. You know what I'm saying? We pray to God, right? First of all, God is everything. To me, God is everything, right? And so we pray to God to get us out of these terrible situations. And then once you're there, everybody race to see how they can act asshole.
Yeah.
You ever watch how many award shows you watch, and whoever's hot at the time, it's their chance to act like an asshole while they get their awards, huh? It's like, yeah. I'm like, yo, bro, just be humble.
Yeah.
Be happy, you know? And with R&B, you got a lot of complicated, like you met a lot of R&B singers that like mentally complicated, right? Like,
well, it's just that like with R&B, you know, for the most part, R&B is a very much solo venture, right? And so it's not like crews or where there's an accountability system in a sense, right? You always have your one guy that's like, hey man, we shouldn't, like I have my guy right here. It's like, that ain't it. We don't need to be on that, or we shouldn't do this. There's a crew, there's a sense of brotherhood, sense of family, camaraderie. Yeah. As R&B artists, it's just
it feels like everybody for themselves.
It is. I equate it to it being, we're all in high school. It's the one girl that everybody likes and everybody's their friend. As soon as one guy gets her, he tucks her and says, you better not talk to none of these motherfuckers again.
That's what it is.
That's what R&B music is.
Exactly.
I got the girl. So whoever's the top R&B guy, I got the girl.
Well, you
don't talk to her.
You're talking in the sense of executives.
No, I'm talking in the sense of artists.
I'm talking about the artists. You got to think about it like this. We can go back to the history of R&B music and point out that probably, and you know, a lot of niggas gonna get mad at me about this, Keith Sweat is one of the last artists to actually put other R&B artists on.
Yep.
Silk.
And too many rappers that do that too. Keith Sweat wrote a lot of hits.
But it's more rappers.
You
know that
you're not selfish. Like Babyface wrote all the Bobby Browns, all that shit. You wrote a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Yo, bro, that's very giving.
No, absolutely.
Because everybody's like, you know, like, oh, I got a hit. I'm not giving this to nobody.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
It's crazy. But so in a sense, Keith Sweat definitely put a bunch of them on.
Bunch of people on.
Yeah,
bunch
you want to talk on. About Keith Sweat, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Keith Sweat. All right, let's go back to Fat Joe. In 88, when all the gangsters was getting money, and it's weird because they put them all in jail. They all died. But I grew up at a time where you turn a corner, it looked like it was bombed up, and then you bump into 10 Benzes and Beamers, and little kids are playing basketball with big rope chains with plates. Like, you know, the dudes are sitting in the corner, Dapper Dan Doubt. Like, I grew up in a fly time where guys was out there stunting crazy. Like, that's the time I come from, right? And so, but even though these guys were selling massive drugs, shooting people every day, every time you went into the most notorious guy's car, when he pressed play, it was Keith Sweat.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
During the summertime, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends and family or on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, whether you're at home or on the go, so you can stay connected to your loved ones and your favorite things. Whether you're sharing pics from the best rooftops, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode after episode. So, connect at home or on the move with AT&T 5G and home internet and create memories and more all summer long. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your Frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Father's Day is coming, a day we celebrate the guy who's always there for us, to crack a dad joke. Well, you know what's not a dad joke? Getting $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker with the purchase of his favorite cocktail capsule pack. $50 off. No dad joke. See, this is a dad joke. I lost my glasses today, and guess who I bumped into? Everyone. But the Bartesian Cocktail Maker, it's no joke. Each cocktail capsule contains real fruit juices and all-natural bitters, so dad can make over 60 premium cocktails he loves. Sidecars, old fashions, gimlets, all with the push of a button. So, for the dad who loves a cocktail with friends and a good joke from time to time, get the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. $50 off now until Father's Day. Visit bartesian.com/father to get 50 off the best premium cocktail maker for dad at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
There's just no way around it. There was no way around
it. They playing Make It Last.
No. It's a ride in the road. They doing drive-bys in this shit. No, it's a fact.
Yeah,
all right?
Yeah, yeah. No,
that's why you say,
love Keith
you say, yo, Joe, man, you always get Keith Sweat at your birthday. Fucking right.
Yeah, yeah.
Cause my guys from my era, they know what the
that's
fuck that is
see.
When he there singing. Yeah. They're like, yo, he got Keith Sweat up in this motherfucker. Like, you know, Keith Sweat, man, I try to tell him all the time, I don't think he know what he meant to the gangsters in the Harlem, in the Bronx, and around America. You know, Keith Sweat, I don't know. He was singing love ballads, but that was some
it had that bass under it too, though.
Yeah.
It was just a different vibe to his music. It was a different vibe to his music. Like Keith Sweat might have been the first trap soul.
I mean,
he might have been.
It hit so hard. Like the music hit so hard. Like it was lowrider music on the West Coast.
Boom, boom, boom.
You know what I'm saying? Like.
He'll tell you, man. I ain't want no soft shit, man. I ain't want to sing on top of no soft shit, baby.
You got
to give me some hard shit. That shit got to be jumping, pumping, put the speakers, baby. And to parallel that, that's really what Keith Sweat is.
Yeah.
As the music is being played by the gangsters,
Keith Sweat
himself
is a gangster.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Keith Sweat, man, he's something else, man. One year I did my birthday party, I had to move the whole party around for his day. So we did it on Sunday because he was booked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He was like, look, Playboy. I said, yo, my birthday tonight. He said, yo, man, the 26th is open. I said, the party's on
the 26th. The party's on the 26th.
You got Keith Sweat. That's we don't give up. Last year he was going to come. I don't know if people know, but you know, his house caught a fire. Do you know that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the day of my birthday. He was supposed to fly in last year.
Oh, shit.
And last year, we tried to get you like 2 years, Tank. We got last year, Babyface came. Stephanie Mills came. You know, Mary J come all the time. She,
Joe, you
got to
tell me early, Joe.
I'm going to tell you early because I tried to get you.
No, here's Juliet, two years in a row. No, no, no. We're going to stop this. Joe,
you know what else I'm trying to get Carl Thomas?
Joe, you have to tell me.
Okay, okay. Let's get his number.
Early, Joe. When is it this year?
We doing the Fat Joe party.
I got a new thing. You know they say don't talk to dudes' wives? I think that's the only way to get it done now is talking to dudes' wives. I swear to God.
Oh, no, because she'll want to come. She don't want to come.
Yeah. No, that's how I get shit done now.
Yeah, she don't want
to
come.
That's real talk.
No, I need a baby face to pay me something. I had to hit his girl up like, yo. Yay, Joey, we love you. Yo, could you send this to face right quick? You know what I'm saying?
I know, that's real
I've
shit,
been
though.
Doing this shit lately. It's been
ultimate
working.
Push through.
It's been working. I'm pushing the shutout. That's who I got to find. Your wife would be like, yo, check this out. I need him there. She'd be like, all right, I'm pulling up.
No, Zia make it happen.
You done messed up now. When she see this, she going to like, call Fat Joe right now so I can talk to him.
Call Fat Joe right now so I can talk to him.
People know, you know, I'm more of an R&B guy.
Absolutely.
That's why than a hip hop guy.
Yeah, that's why we brought you here.
Rich be like, yo, why you want to always want to play that R&B shit, man? Or that I play
that shit. Is
that
what
you
be saying, Rich? Is that what you be saying?
No, no, no.
It's a little too intimate for you.
Joe, you playing Blue Magic and Delphonics?
I play that.
Yeah.
All the time.
Come on, man. That's how I learned how to sing.
I got the super old school mix for on the plane. I'm scared to fly.
Mm-hmm.
So I listen to all that Delphonics, Stylistics, the Blue Notes, everything, man. I listen to all that. That calms me down.
I got to ask a question.
Yes.
Switch or the Barge?
The Barge. But Switch
over
is Switch? Incredible. Yeah. The
over
Barge.
Bobby?
Yeah, because they big, man.
Okay,
all right. You know, I'm into Bobby. But you know, Switch, most people, you could have tried to jam me up right now because most people don't even know Switch unless you really know R&B.
That's a real R&B question.
The Barge is, that's like saying.
That's the little brother and little sisters.
Yeah, that's like saying, you know, the Michael Jackson or LaToya or some shit like that. Yeah. Even though don't get it fucked up, Switch was the shit.
Okay, all right.
Switch is the shit. Right. But the Barge, that's superstardom. You know?
That's fair.
Let's talk music. What do you think if we're giving a secret, if we're giving a blueprint in terms of staying relevant, staying active, staying on the charts, being able to do high-level collaborations. You started that.
Long time ago.
You started
that.
Well,
you know what happened to me was after Pun died, rest in peace, Big Pun, I went to All-Star Weekend in D.C. And it was either Philly or D.C. I want to say D.C. That's crazy because I remember... so I think it was DC and I was walking into the game and R. Kelly was standing up on the wall and I seen him. And so at this time, R. Kelly had only collaborated with like Biggie or not even Jay-Z yet. It was Biggie and Nas, right? And so he was number one in the universe. And so when he sees me, he said, yo, Fat Joe, what's up? And so like you said, every man for himself, like, that's the only reason why award shows and all that is dope, because you go to parties and you get to see people you
see
love.
People, yeah.
But we never see these people unless we see them at a concert or something. So he was like, yo, man, I'm a Fat Joe fan, bro. I'm like, R. Kelly? Like, are you serious? This guy was God at the time. And he was like, yo, man, yo, rest in peace, Big Pun. I grew up with the Puerto Ricans, which is true, in Chicago. He was like, yo, man, I want to do a song with you. Now, at this point, I'm still really street.
Yeah.
Like really, really street. Like I didn't know no better, right? So I had to grab R. Kelly by the jaw. I said, yo, I'm not the guy you say you want to do it somewhere. And then you disappear on. Nah, for real. Nah. Yo. Nah. Thank God I said it myself. Because I said, yo, listen, yo, take. I'm that ghetto, that's still street. Now yeah. Fat Joe be like, oh, wow, that'd be a, you know, an honor or what. You know, then I was like, yo, my man, don't be, like, I ain't the one. I ain't don't the guy you want to talk to like yeah, that. Yeah. She's like, nah, I'm going to be in Orlando. Come down there. We do a song, this, that. Magically, DJ Ron G hits me up. I never even knew he made beats. He was like, yo, Joe, man, I made a beat for you. So I knew all these producers that made hits, but every time I asked them for beats, say Trackmasters or whatever, they had all the hits, but they would send me their hard shit. So like if I would go to Tank, who writes hits, and I'd be like, yo, Tank, I want a joint. I was so street, Tank would think of his one hardcore joint and be like, yo, Joe, I got one for you. Mm-hmm. No, I want a fucking hit.
Yeah.
I want the barge, not switch.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So
don't do that, Joe.
No, I'm just telling you. I'm trying to tell you. I want no, yo, switch. I love you. You know, El DeBarge, one of my favorite ever. But you know, El DeBarge is that's my guy. But listen, so he go like this. So, Ron G, we go by him. He gives us the beat. We play the shit. We start running around the fucking truck because it's the beat till we dug in. We like, oh somebody shit. Gave us a hit.
Yeah,
somebody,
something.
At least it sound like a hit, like because everybody else was just giving us shoot 'em up,
right.
Bang that shit that Mobb Deep or rap to or MOP, or, you know. So I'm like, because that's what I was coming out the gate. So we dancing. So I do my verses. We drive down to Orlando, right? R. Kelly's laying on the couch. I walk up in there. Funny shit is the Trackmasters was there too. They was doing his music. And so when I walked in, I'm like, yo, what's up, Kels? Yo, what's up? Yo, this. And he was just sitting on the couch and he said, yo, you got the song? I said, yeah, I got the song. And it's funny because he tried to talk, he talked to you like real light and shit. Like, yo, it's Kels, you know what I'm saying? This, that. You know, I never heard him talk with bass. He always talked like smooth and shit, right? So I give him the CD and he plays it. And immediately he rolls off the couch and he grabs this recorder, like a cola, and goes, he does like the intro. I don't know what he's doing, but he thinking of the hook, but he's singing the shit, right? He was like, yo, this shit's hard. Yo, you know, fire, whatever it was. Then he started mumbling some shit in the hook. Then he turned the shit off and he was like, and the Trackmaster's looking at me like, yo, Joe, I didn't know you could rhyme like that. I ain't know you can make hits like that. I was like, yo, I've been telling you to give me the shit forever. Y'all keep thinking I'm Fat Joe the Gangster, right? So the funny shit is he does that. So I'm thinking, you know, R. Kelly's going to sing the hook.
Yeah.
We're going to do it. And he goes, yeah, you know, I got a toothache. I'm like, huh? He's like, it was like 2 a.m. He was like, yo, I got a toothache. You know what I'm saying? So you got to let, you know, go chill. We'll figure it out, this, that. I'm like, I drove 20 hours at the time. I was scared to fly.
Oh, you wasn't flying.
So I drove down there, too. So I'm like, yo, Kels. He was like, ah, too fake, this, that. So out of nowhere, he disappears and walks out the room through a door. So it's like 10 minutes, 20, 30, 40 minutes. Like, I'm telling you, I'm really impulsive. I'm like really, really street at this point. I don't know how to explain it. So I said, man, fuck that, man. I go to the door. I open the door. He dead ass got a dentist giving him Novocaine on a chair
in real
the door,
life.
In the fucking studio at like 2 a.m.
You ready to go bad on it.
I felt so bad. Yo, check. I felt so bad. I'm sitting there like this. I'm like, oh shit, he really got a toothache. I go, because I noticed one record gonna change my life.
Yeah.
This is a hit. You know, you got a hit with R. Kelly at that time. It's just automatic, right? So long story short, the man don't call me for like 2 days. And I'm staying in like a motel in Orlando. I'm writing, I'm working on my album. And then we about to be, I'm like, man, fuck him, man. We going back up to the Bronx, man. So we getting the truck ready and out of nowhere, the phone ring. He's like, yo, what's up? It's Kels. I said, Kels? I said, what's up, Kel's? Your tooth good? Everything good? He's like, hold up. And he pressed play, and you hear, we dug and rolling on those. Oh, my gosh. We got it.
And
that's what happened, man. And so that shit.
And that's your first R&B collaboration.
My first hit. Like, my first R&B hit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'll never forget. We used to throw parties out here in Miami. We used to, every Memorial weekend, I used to throw all the parties in all the clubs. And we had a Terror Squad pool party. So I'll never forget. That was the biggest shit out here. So you had Cam'ron, Fab, all the usual suspects, everybody in the building. AI's in there.
Yeah.
And I go to DJ and I say, yo, press play. And niggas are like, yo, brand new Fat Joe. Nigga, play that shit. When they heard that R. Kelly go, we thugging, y'all seen. I actually got to see every rapper's face. They all was like.
Because they'd never heard a record like that from you either.
Who gives a fuck? He got a smash with R. Kelly at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
They looking around like, oh, shit. This motherfucker lit. Like, this was like the ultimate collaboration at the time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And the shit was a hit. And so we followed that up with What's Love. With Ashanti, Irv Gotti, that was another ill story too. You know, I didn't really know Irv Gotti. I met him like 2-3 days before Pun died, and we talked for like hours. And then Pun died, and then you know that's where I met Ja Rule. I was sitting in the funeral crying, and then I look up, and it was Ja Rule. He was like, "Yo, sorry about your brother," and like I said, I let God push me through. At that moment, I said to myself, oh, this is my guy, you know, because I don't cry. So when I finally broke down and cried out of nowhere, it was Ja Rule standing over me. I said, oh, God, let me know this is my guy.
Hmm.
So I told him, thank you. And then out of nowhere, I was sleeping in the crib with my wife and phone rang when you still had the house phone. Shit, like 3 a.m, it's Irv Gotti. Yo, Joe, we made a joint for you. Come down. I'm like, who's this? He was like, it's Irv Gotti. So I go down there, they press play. It's What's Love? What's Love got to do? They gave me a smash when them niggas was rocking.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's why I always stayed loyal to them.
I got to ask a question about that.
Mm-hmm.
The aggression that you start the record with.
Mm-hmm. Put that fucking, I was still in the street.
The song is called What's Love?
Put the fucking beat on. Put the fucking mic on. It was like, I was Supreme Beam Ghetto. Still, I don't know how to explain this shit to you.
Fuck your R&B record.
Nobody told me it was going to be like, you know, yo, you're going to be doing stadiums. After that, it was like white people discovered Fat Joe after What's Love.
Yeah.
I couldn't perform for black people or Spanish people for like 2 years straight. I was doing all them jingle balls.
Yeah.
Every white guy, Katy Perry, whoever the white guys was.
You was getting booked in Vegas at that point.
Yeah.
Fuck Vegas. Like, it was, the whole place was white. It was like, who's the white? Like, if so say if it was right now, What's Love was right now, I'd be on tour with Billie Eilish. And shit like that. It's just no way around
you. Right. Yeah.
So they hear the because, you know, you can't do one song.
Yeah.
So when they hear the other five songs, they're hearing, fuck you, suck my dick, bitch, this, that. And then what's the, they're like confused. Like, yo, I thought he's like a fucking commercial pop guy.
Right.
So I was doing the hardcore shit, then doing, it was crazy, man. Now that I know what I know, you know, from being
your
in the game so
your set list would be a little different.
Way different.
So you hadn't settled in to that being a formula. You were just like,
well, these he only are had two of them at
two
this point.
Great records that are what they are. Stand
alone. Pun started with the.
Wait, still not a player.
Still not a player. So when I met Pun, I told him I wanted him to be the Spanish Biggie, and you know he's into lyrics, hardcore beats, this that. He loved R&B. Janet Jackson was his favorite. But his favorite record of all time was Fire and Desire.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd be driving through the Bronx, Fire and Desire. Like, he was a big R&B head too. But he preferred to rap hardcore. And so I was like, yo, we got to do something for the girls, B. We got to do it. And then he did the joint with Joe the singer. You know, thank God for Joe and Kedar Massenburg, because, you know, Joe had just sold 500,000 records his first week.
Mm-hmm.
Joe was the biggest. No, he was doing
fire.
Drake.
Oh, he's on fire.
He was doing Drake numbers.
He's on fire. Yeah.
No, literally. Mm-hmm. 500,000 first week. Drake shit. And we stepped to him, and Key Dawg was like, you know, yo, Joe, I sent him to the studio. He shows up, he does the song with us. Like, think about an artist you never met before, you never heard of, you just sold 500,000 and you right, humble you enough up. To get on
yeah,
the record.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to
and
Joe.
So that shit yeah. took off. So shout out to Joe for being the real one forever and Key Dawg.
But do you also feel like that the legend of Fat Joe also played a part in people understanding how serious you were as a person?
Yes.
And you make a request, it's like, oh, Fat Joe wants, oh, Fat Joe, Fat Joe? Yeah, Fat Joe.
You want to know what's crazy is the first time I worked with Kanye, right? We throw the beat up and I pull out the pen and the pad and he said, what's that? And I was like, nah, I'm about to write. He was like, you write? Like, I thought you was the Don Corleone. They just come bring the shit to you. You know, the Don asked for it. I said, no, motherfucker, I'm a rapper. I'm an MC.
Yeah.
Kanye
bring the Don
West.
His raps.
Yeah, I swear to God, Kanye West said he thought I was the Don. They just bring the shit to me. I was like, are you fucking crazy? I write my shit.
That is crazy.
That was the craziest That's shit. Right. He really dead ass thought it was like,
somebody write
the Don. Somebody, yeah, fuck somebody
your raps
writing.
Appear.
Yeah, yeah.
Your raps appear. I was like, nah, man. I write like, and then we did the joint, Pride and Joy, which very underrated song I did with Kanye. We had everybody on there. Who's on there? Jay the Bus, the Most Def, this everybody. Even if you all about the money, I don't really care. Okay, that shit cost me a lot of money.
That was about to be my next question. That sounds like a very expensive
record. He charged me
record.
Nothing. He charged me. Nobody charged me. He charged me nothing. Shout out to Bink. He charged me nothing. But he said, when we shoot the video, I got to hire Hype Williams.
Oh, shit.
You know what that is. Then I got to pay for the wardrobe.
Yeah.
He literally had $7,000 tank tops from France. Tank tops. I'm looking at this shit like a hole in my head, man. I'm like, when I went through the shit, I said, yo, what we spent $80,000 on clothes? And when I was looking, the shit was tank tops, sweatpants for $15,000. I mean, we understand that shit now, but at the time, I guess I ain't have it like that. That was coming right after
I don't think we
round.
Were in tune with fashion that cost that much money.
No, no, we wasn't in
money.
Tune with shit costing that much. Yeah. No way. But that was right after another round.
Mm-hmm.
I had just had another round with Chris with Brown, Chris. And that was the gift that kept giving.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
You got a very aggressive line in that record, too.
Which one? Fuck you with the mask on, Halloween pussy? Yeah, that was a bar to me.
No, I told him about that.
Hey, Joe scratching his head.
He tells me all the time. And in the day that don't go by.
I really listen to music.
You know how I knew that line? It was coming. Every single day I go on Twitter, somebody be like, this nigga said, fuck you with your mask on, holiday. Halloween pussy. But let me tell you that story. I'm in Africa. So for a long time, I've been to more places in Africa than most artists. I've been everywhere in Africa. And so it was a time where American artists were either scared to go to Africa or didn't want to go to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing, I've been to Kenya, I've been to Somalia, I've been to Zimbabwe, I've been to South Africa, I've been to Luanda, I've been to Rwanda, I've been to Angola. I damn near lived in Angola, Equatorial Guinea. I've been to Morocco, I've been, yo, bro, I went to Nigeria a million times. I went to a place called Djibouti. I'm doing all of Africa, right? So I did everything in Africa. And then one show I had Timbaland, Chris Brown, Ciara. It was finally I seen some Americans. I'm in Africa. And Chris Brown sit there and he talking with me. He said, yo, Crack, man, let's do a song. It's time. I look at Chris Brown, so I'm like, Chris, I'm kind of fucked up right now, too. I needed a hit.
Yeah.
You know when you go through one of them slumps?
I know.
Where you got a little 3-4 years where you ain't put one out the park? Look, when you're used to putting out number ones and you get a slump where you almost can't see the number. I was putting out so many number ones. They was like a joke to me. I was giving away number ones. Like, to other artists, my friends, yo, take that. It's the number one. Yo, don't worry about this. I thought they just come to everybody like that. When I went in that drought, and your man Chris Brown said he gonna give me a life preserver, I said, now, Chris.
You had to give him a speech. The Fat Joe speech.
Now, Chris, don't, please. I'm in Africa with you. You promised. He's like, nah, send a song. I do it.
Yeah.
So I went right back to the studio with Kool & Dre. Shout out Kool & Dre.
Yeah.
And they monsters in the game. And so I sit with Dre. And that actually was like three different hooks that we did in another round. So I had one song where they had, I'm wondering on you and her and her and her. That was on one song. Then we had we broke that whole hook down three. It was actually three hooks. Like on records I had. And then we just made it one hook,
yeah,
and send the best parts and send it to Chris, and he sent it back ASAP. And so when we wrote, I wanna know you, I wanna fuck you and her and her and her, you know what inspired that little part right there, and I hope I don't get sued, was when Lil Wayne had that record. I used to go to Live, and he be sitting on the couch and say, I just wanna fuck every girl in the world.
Yeah.
I just wanna fuck every girl in the world. And I be looking at him and he be like, I just wanna, and he pointing around. And so that's how I came up with that part of the hook, that one you and her.
Yeah.
You, and you never know what inspires. So he did it and that shit just rang off crazy.
Yeah.
You know, the only problem with that song, I would say, was that I wasn't on fire. Like, so if I was on fire,
it would
have then that shit would have been the biggest shit in the universe.
Yeah.
But the fact that I had to dig myself out a hole.
Gotcha.
You know, All the Way Up was similar too. You know, All the Way Up, it was a couple of years before I dropped the Big Boy. So it stalled. You know, people were asking, you think, you know, these guys, you know, this is a real bandwagon shit. Yes. Everybody got to jump on some shit, this and that. Social media wasn't out yet like that, and so and All the Way Up. So a couple of DJs is like, yo, should I? It sound like a Lean Back. And then the shit just took off and went flying. You
but
know
go
what
back
I'm saying?
To Lean Back, though. Lean Back, did you skip over
Lean Back? Lean Back was out of here. Lean Back was
a monster. Shout out to Scott Storch.
Different type of thing. Shout out to Scott Storch.
Sheesh.
If now, I had known.
Here's a question. Are you independent with Lean Back?
No. I'm signed to Steve Rifkin at the time. That was just like.
But it's still under you, though, under Terror Squad.
No, because. And we'll go to.
Everything's under
right.
me.
Right. And that's what I want to talk about.
The stories I'm trying to tell you is like, look, I was signed to Relativity Records, low budget record label. Thank God they put me on. That's why I'm so close with Common. Me and him started on the same label, M.O.P., The Beatnuts, Chi Ali. And so we had this little label that was independent, but I didn't own shit. I was just an artist. And then Biggie Smalls blows up. So I gave Biggie Smalls his first show ever. So I was rapping and promoting shows at the same time. Like I told you, I was promoting out here. So we was tight. So Biggie said, yo, let's make an album together. It was on the time. He had all the beef with Tupac and this and this and that. And so, long story short, we recorded a couple of records. Immediately, Atlantic Records heard that I was working with Biggie.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how they do the divide and conquer. They came right over. Shout out my brother, Rob Reef Tulo. Thank God you did that. So he came over and said, yo, you working with Biggie on the album? I said, yeah. So, boom. He said, nah, we want to give you your own record label. We want to this, that. And so I didn't even deserve my own record label. You know what I'm saying? I didn't even deserve my own record label because I was just on a bumfuck record label. And I ain't really sell no records or nothing like that because they heard, they said, yo, anything Puff touching, anything Biggie touching, anybody touching this shit about to go, get them. So we went
so you
up
get a
there
label and, deal off of that.
And millions.
You got a label deal off of a conversation.
Talk.
We heard.
Niggas talking.
Yeah.
Yo, Joe and Biggie working on something.
Social currency.
That's it. Social currency at the time. It wasn't social media. Yeah. It wasn't nothing
like
that.
Yeah.
But they heard the hype and it was like, boom. And I remember I showed Puff Daddy the contract, and he read it. He said, "Oh, Playboy, you got to sign that. I ain't giving you that. I'm not giving you nothing like that, Playboy."
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
During the summertime, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends and family. Or on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, whether you're at home or on the go, so you can stay connected to your loved ones and to your favorite things. Whether you're sharing pics from the best rooftops, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show episode after episode after episode. So connect at home or on the move with AT&T 5G and home internet and create memories and more all summer long. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five!
High Five!
Casino!
Casino!
Win at HighFiveCasino.com!
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Dad deserves something really nice for Father's Day, but let's face it, we usually don't do it. Big gifts are for Mother's Day. Picking something up on the way is for Father's Day. Well, let's make Father's Day something this year with the Bartesian Cocktail Maker. It whips up over 60 premium cocktails on demand, each ready at the push of a button. And right now, you get $50 off the Bartesian Cocktail Maker when you buy one pack of Dad's favorite cocktail capsules. Dad will publicly love that you saved $50 on the countertop machine that crafts premium cocktails on demand. And he'll secretly love that you splurged on him for Father's Day with the gift of a Bartesian. Because the only thing that lets Dad know he's the world's number one dad better than a world's number one dad coffee mug is an artisan cocktail in his hand. Make Dad's Father's Day and Father's Day cocktails with all natural juices and bitters without making any mess at all. Visit bartesian.com/father to get $50 off the best premium cocktail maker for Dad at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Let me tell you something. The greatest salsa singer of all time, his name is Hector Lavoe. That movie El Cantante, J-Lo and Mark Anthony, that was his life.
Mm.
And he's my favorite salsa singer of all time. And he got live songs where he's talking so much shit, Tank, and I feel like I'm there when I'm there. He says, the only singer that sings underwater, the only singer that when he opens his mouth, fire comes out. This, that. I know you see a lot of singers in here, and then none of them fucking with me tonight. Like, he was talking.
Oh, he wasn't playing.
And they were there. And So think Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder, this one, this one, that. He was talking that shit with them there. So he's talking that Celia Cruz is here. The biggest was there. He was like, ain't can't nobody fuck with me. I am the best. And they, I'm like, wow, what? You know, I never seen them live. I'm like, what it would have been to be to there.
Yeah. Same.
Now, my favorite song of all time.
Hold on, Joe. I got to introduce
speed,
it.
Baby. Speed.
I introduce these kind of things. Yeah. I have songs for these kind of things, Joe.
You have songs for the introduction. Yo, this is crazy.
Oh, we got to go to Dream. Hold on. Let me get the Dream. Dream. There we go. Joe, we have a song for this.
What's the song? Tell him what the song is, man.
Top five.
Yeah.
Your top five. Top five. Your top five. R&B singers.
What else?
R&B songs. We got. What do we wanna know in your top five? Yes! Rawr! Pow! Top five! Your top five!
Okay. I'm going to give you my top five. Luther Vandross, the greatest of all time.
Mm.
Just my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, some people say Teddy. Some people say Stevie. Mm-hmm. Some people say...
people say Donnie. They say that. Everybody got their favorites.
We say everybody. Mm-hmm. So my guy is Luther Vandross, the greatest of all time. I used to go to see him, and he be this small because I was up a deck with a cheap three-piece suit on, like the cheap shit. $100, $80 three-piece suit up
the
deck.
You get the three pieces for the one
with price. With my wife. Second one would be Babyface. And so anything Babyface is, I know every ad-lib, every lyric, everything. I could be a background singer for Babyface. And so many times Babyface performing, people want to throw me out the show. Because, you know, decent people go see Babyface perform.
Decent people.
And I'm sitting in there. I'm standing in the front row, you know.
Yeah.
Tell me where you go.
Yeah.
And tell me who.
Yeah.
You know, that's when
who's
you turn around.
You? Who's going to love you like I
you
do?
You don't want to go to a Mary J. show with your wife. There you don't want to go. Because you probably get stabbed in your back about 40 times by mad women, right? But Babyface, you could turn to your wife and go, but where will you go and tell me who?
Yeah.
Who? Yeah. Who's going to love you, baby? Yeah. Where did I do not tell me where?
No, Babyface is the conversation.
Yeah.
He's the conversation.
Where will you go? Mm-hmm. Where will you go and tell me who's going to? You know, that's, yeah, Babyface. Third would be Anita Baker. Now, I listen to Anita Baker every single day of my life. Only problem I got with Anita Baker is that when I go to her shows, she don't sing the song. You know, she kills it so much. She's so tired of singing these songs. So if you come to my song, you're gonna hear me go, my show, you're gonna hear me say, lean back.
The
so
way
she'll
it
be
is.
Like, and hey. And I'm trying to sing along
I'm
with her.
To sing with her.
But she killing it so much that I can't. Lauryn Hill do that too. She did, like, they just like, I guess they want to change the song.
Yeah.
They're tired of singing the shit. They freak it a whole different way. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, but Anita Baker, she's top three. So I got Luther, Babyface, Anita Baker. Fourth, you know where I had to go with Keith Sweat.
I mean, we
waiting on the Sweat.
You know, I got to go with Keith Sweat.
We waiting on the Sweat.
You know, I got to go Keith Sweat.
Yeah.
You know, step on stage, girl scream like I'm Keith.
Easy.
He's just amazing to me, man. I watched this man be a superstar my whole life.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
In real life.
Yeah.
I watched this man in real life be a superstar my whole life. When he used to have a show in Madison Square Garden, when he come out in the bed, they push the bed out. And he got the, and it, he's still the biggest. So, yeah. Keith Sweat, man, he's definitely a role model to me. Somebody I look up to.
Same.
In another Same. Way.
Yeah.
And last is Stephanie Mills for sure.
Ooh.
And so Stephanie is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because Stephanie brings my moms and my aunts into it.
Yeah.
You know, and when they was cleaning Saturdays, you know what I mean? They playing that Stephanie top. And I'm just like, you know, losing my mind with Stephanie. And every time I hear her music, it makes me feel the same
way. It takes you back there.
Yeah. And she's also touring. You know, R&B, I think... their fans support more than hip-hop fans do. Because you can have hip-hop guys slip through the cracks. But R&B, if you're not getting high, you show up, you can sing good still. Because some people, that is sad. I've went to see some R&B singers that they lost
their
voice.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And so it's crazy because I know they got to pay their bills, but I'd rather listen to the record. How I know them, how they really was putting it down.
Yeah.
They go to a show and they can't do it, right? So that's my top five. Luther Vandross grew up like three blocks from me.
Luther Vandross?
Luther Vandross was born in the Lower East Side but came up to the Bronx. But literally, three. So that's, it's safe to say Luther grew up where hip-hop was born.
Right.
He lived 5 footsteps, you know, 5 blocks from me. So I didn't know till I sampled the Luther song to the Sunshine and his family. They cleared it so fast and it was like, yo, we love you, Fat Joe. We from 5 blocks away. And then when I went to YouTube and started seeing, I was like, yo, fucking Luther from 5 blocks away.
That's crazy.
Luther Vandross, everything to me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's my idol, man. He's special. I don't think nobody can sing like him. I think he can hit any kind of note in the world. He was just crazy. I remember I used to go to shows. He walked past. And you know Luther about to get in some shit. So every now and then I go on YouTube and I'll be like, all right, Luther, BET Award, Luther, American Music Award, Luther, tribute to Dionne Warwick. And he on some shit. Like he's sitting there, you already. The whole crowd is laughing before he start to sing because they already know, all right, Luther about to be on some shit.
Yeah.
So that's my guy. I gave you the songs. I'll tell you a funny story about, all right, and of course, Michael Jackson trumps everything, you know. Michael Jackson is
It's Michael Jackson.
He's Michael Jackson. He's an alien.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so to anything Michael Jackson, right? But I'll mention a crazy story is I was in the studio with Rico Love, good friend of mine.
Our brother.
Mm-hmm. And he was working, this is when he was writing every hit for Usher. I was there when he was writing all them hits for Usher. Like hanging out with them and Usher was there. That's funny about Usher. So we up there, one day Usher begs me to take him to the club, right? And I'm like, yo, Usher, man, you know, you don't want to go to no club. You know, because Usher likes... I don't want the responsibility of having to hold down these fucking superstars, right?
You don't want to be security.
Because I become security. Right. You know, I can never let nothing happen to Usher.
Yeah.
Not
He's
on your
telling
watch.
Me take him to where all the Spanish chicks is. That's usually in the hood out here. So he's like, yo, I want to see the Spanish chicks. Let's go. I'm like, yo, Usher, stay here. He was in the safe studio.
Stay here.
Fucking Jay Valentine candles. He's chilling. We walk in the club and he starts dancing.
Oh.
And I'm looking at him and the man is floating in one spot. He was doing some shit where he was floating. I'm looking at him. Everybody's looking at him like, yo, fucking Usher floating in one spot. I don't know what the fuck he was doing. I was like, yo, this guy, he's not on his feet. He's like floating.
Yeah.
Right? Usher, but I was there for when Rico wrote all of them. And then I actually had to convince Kelly Rowland to do that song Motivation.
No.
And so she wasn't sure about it. And I was like, yo, Kelly. Because she had just had a hit that was one of them EDM
shit. Yeah, Floor to the Floor joint.
So she was thinking about
going that space.
Going
yeah,
that. And I'm like, yo, bro, you know, you Destiny's Child. You know, this shit is a smash. The man just wrote 30 million hits for Usher. Like, you caught catching him. That's another thing. You know, as a writer, now I know. right? Like, so I did four songs with Scott Storch. Each one of them went number one on the Billboard 100. Had I known that, I would have did 20 songs with Scott Storch at the time.
Yeah, when you,
you know, when you're
wave,
gun hot.
Yeah.
When you got a pen and your gun hot, you got to go. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, yo, his gun hot right now. You know, she did it. And look, that was a big hit for her. You know what I'm saying?
Let's build your super R&B artist, Joe.
But now how do we do that?
I'm finna show you. This is called Voltron, right? So you have to pick an R&B artist, dead or alive, that you would get the vocal from, that you would get the performance style from, that you would get the styling from, and that you would get the passion from. So out of all the R&B artists that you know and love, dead or alive, to make your super R&B artist, who would you get the vocal from?
Michael Jackson. Nobody got that. Nobody got that tone.
Sing any kind of record.
Any record.
Nobody. Any record. You know.
We've said he's had four voices.
Yeah.
Oh, he did.
Over time. He's had four different voices. They were all immaculate.
Michael Jackson, performance, I get Chris Brown. So I got an MJ and a Chris Brown. Right? I'm on to something.
You absolutely on to something.
No. All right. That's so what's the next record. One?
So who's the styling of the artist? The drip.
Who got the fly shit on?
If I could pick, if it could be a female, I gotta really think about this, but I think I go Aaliyah with the styling.
Fly.
You know what I'm saying? That was like that little tomboy look, showing her little six pack.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think she was a big trendsetter.
That was a thing. Yeah, 100%.
So I would go vocally MJ, performance Chris Brown, styling Aaliyah.
Passion.
That's a lot of passion. But passion, I'm torn between two. One I really know, which is Maxwell. Right? Every time I see Maxwell, I stop him. I make him sing that shit to me. He could be drunk at a party.
Man, what?
Yeah. Every time.
Sing the song, Maxwell.
Sing the song, Maxwell. We could be in a club popping. I'll be like, yo, you got to do. Be like, yo, Joe, you got to. So. You need passion to hit that note right there. And somebody, I don't really know all her music like that, but just from seeing her perform so many times throughout my whole life, I'll say Yolanda Adams.
Because
when she's singing.
She's singing. She's not playing around.
She's not.
Life changing.
Not playing.
Yeah, she's not playing with these people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we could throw Patti in there too, Patti LaBelle.
Yeah.
But you know, those are like, you know what I'm saying? Passion.
Yeah.
I got vocally, nobody better than MJ with his tones is like, it's unreal.
Yeah.
Like every time I listen to Michael, matter of fact, I'm going to listen to him now when I leave here and go in the car. Vocally, nobody. Performance wise, nobody like Chris Brown. I don't watch Chris Brown jump off the balcony and land on one finger. Just like the shit. Like, yo, bro, this guy here, I'm not exaggerating.
I didn't know where he was going to say.
Yo, the guy jumped, he flipped off the balcony and land on one finger and then open an umbrella while the cops slapped up. And then, like, yo, bro, like, the man unreal. Like, we got to stop. Like,
But this shit is true too. That's what makes it even better.
The man is unreal. Then he'll go play a game of basketball and drop 60 on him. Yo, he's unreal.
Umbrella.
Swag. I said Aaliyah.
Yeah.
Passion. I gave you a couple to choose from.
Okay.
Yolanda Adams, Patti LaBelle. And Maxwell.
Yeah, I like it.
He did it. He did. You know Nas. You know, Nas never had to rhyme outside of Illmatic. He created such a classic, the album Illmatic. If he never rhymed again, he'd be a legend, the icon on the Mount Rushmore forever.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you think about it, Andre 3000 ain't really rapping like 15 years. We still got him on Mount Rushmore. Your man Nas with Illmatic, he was done. He did some shit that goes in the Museum of Natural History, right? And so Maxwell with that,
he never had
to sing another song. Swimming through the concrete and shit. You remember the video? Swimming through the concrete?
Yeah.
Know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, I'm good with what my choices were.
All right, before we let you out of here, Brother Joe.
Yeah, we got a very, very, very special part of the show.
We keep theme songs ready.
Yeah.
Okay? That's my job. This one is, I ain't saying no names.
Huh.
I ain't saying no names.
Tell
it. I ain't saying no names.
Yeah.
I ain't saying no name. Where you was, who you was with, what you did.
Come on,
with it. Don't say shit. I ain't saying no names.
And that's all we want, Ted.
And that's all.
We don't want nobody to say no names.
So this,
leave
us
alone, man.
Very, very, very special segment
very
of the show.
Special.
Thank you so much, man. It was an honor to be here.
You're not done yet.
Oh, I'm not done.
You're not done. You got one more thing.
Okay.
It's the part of the show. It's called I Ain't Saying No Names.
Okay.
Will you tell us a story,
uh-huh,
funny or fucked up, or funny and fucked up? The only rule to the game is you can't say no names.
Oof. Okay. What comes to mind? Man, I got too many stories. It was an artist, right? That an R&B artist,
mm-hmm,
who was very sexual, very write songs for the ladies and this and that. And he would have women butt naked, like if it was like art, like you know how you
like
paint
a statue,
it?
Yeah,
like a statue, like art,
yeah.
And he would write his hit records looking at butt naked women. That was like his art,
yeah.
Like you know how they got them,
his inspo,
like this,
yeah.
It was the inspo, and then another red bone to come, and another one, and they was older. I don't want nobody thinking no crazy shit, but I ain't saying no names. But let me tell you something. I never forgot that session where I was just like,
they would just come and pose.
About an hour, come and pose, butt naked on the stool thing, smiling, walk out the room. Another one come in, and the dude just be writing him records about girls. I ain't saying no names.
Wow. I like that.
That's a legendary. I never gave nobody that one. That's a legendary.
I like that.
Wow.
Yeah. You never know what people's inspiration is.
Absolutely.
Is that, okay, this is a question. Is that cheating? I'm just writing a song. That's not cheating, right?
No, it's not cheating. No, it's not cheating. It's like, not cheating.
Like my wife should be okay with that.
I didn't see the girls flirting.
Right.
Yeah.
They weren't even looking at us. They were there minding their business, like they posing, like
just
it was
inspo.
Yo, don't get me in
it
trouble.
Was all right. It was all right.
Yo, fuck that.
It was all right.
Yo, but I ain't saying no names.
Wow.
Brother Fat Joe, we are family goes without saying, but I think we are all inspired and we are all better because of what you've done and how you do it, man. Yeah. And we
good
appreciate
looking, my brother.
You. We appreciate you 1,000 times over. I appreciate you giving me the call. As I said, you've always been inclusive. You've always wrapped your hands and arms around everyone. And you give me a call and say, hey, man, you want to be part of this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce.
It wasn't a do you want to be part of this. It
think,
was
think
Tank,
of this, right?
You want to be
Tank,
part of
you
this.
Sing.
Yeah.
You get money, right? Think of Tyson Beckford, right? One of the most handsome men in the world. He's mm-hmm. been a runway model forever.
Yeah.
We found a way for people who love him to support
him.
Yeah.
And he get paid now off his looks.
Yeah.
So every night, somebody, every day, somebody buying a box. You know, we finally found the right system for Tyson Beckford to get his just due.
Yeah.
Get his flowers.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, it's the beginning of a lot of stuff we going to do. You know, shout out to Jay-Z. He going for the casino up in New York Times Square. And so I want him to get it because then 15,000 people that look like us will get jobs in Times Square. And so I just, every time I hear amazing things from people, you know, I look up to or who I love or what they're doing, you know, it inspires me.
Well, you inspire us, brother, in that.
Absolutely.
That is the blueprint, man. How can we continue to push it forward and or pay it forward?
Mm.
You know what I mean? That's it. My name is Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this is the R&B Money Podcast, the authority on all things R&B.
Yeah.
And this has been All Things Fat Joe. Ladies and gentlemen.
R&B Money.
R&B Money is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Don't forget to subscribe to and rate our show. And you can connect with us on social media at Jay Valentine and at The Real Tank. For the extended episode, subscribe to youtube.com/RMB Money.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears. Real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
During the summer, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends or alone on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected so you can enjoy all the summertime vibes. Whether you're sharing pics from a rooftop, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show episode after episode. So stay connected to your favorite people and your favorite things with AT&T 5G and home internet. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sort. High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at High Five Casino.
.com. High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Need an easy button to feed your baby? Baby Brezza's Formula Pro Advanced makes a perfectly mixed warm formula bottle automatically at the push of a button. No air bubbles, no fuss. Literally, choose your temp, select your ounces, push start, and you're done. Works with virtually all formulas and bottles. Say goodbye to the 3 a.m. feeding chaos and hello to this revolutionary stress-free solution. Raising a baby is hard enough. Let Baby Brezza make feeding a breeze. Get your Formula Pro Advanced at babybrezza.com.